Bear down, Chicago Bears. Bill, I know you're not a fan of Jay Cutler's.
I'm not.
But I know you were a fan of the 85 Bears because we keep living in the past. Can
right.
I tell you that?
What a year that was.
It
what
keeps
a magical
me coming
year.
Back for every Bears game.
Yeah.
Well, most of them.
Yeah.
Even now. In the studio with us right now, Rich Lankoff. He's on our show a lot when we have legal issues. But he and the director and producer of this new 85 Bears documentary, Scott Preston, is in the studio as well. And Mike McNamara, what are you doing here?
Hey, I'm proud to be one of the associate producers on this doc. And so I got a buzz this morning and said, come over and talk with all my friends.
Good.
So I said, okay.
Well, congrats on this, by the way. 85, the greatest team in pro football history. It airs Tuesday night, WTTW, 7:30 p.m.
Correct. Yes, on PBS.
I cannot wait to see this.
So can we. I mean, this is the product of a lot of hard work, about 18 months or so of work by our production team, which is all local, you know, not a lot of people. We're really proud of the product we put on, and Otis Wilson's one of our co-producers as well. We've just, you know, been looking today at some final edits, and it looks amazing. I think everyone's going to be real pleased.
You could easily make the argument, and you do in the documentary, that this was the greatest team ever assembled, the greatest season that's ever been put together. It's pretty easy to say, not just from the stats, but just from watching the games, a team couldn't come out and beat these guys.
We do make that argument in the film, and as we interviewed people, we allowed them to answer that question.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are pro-Chicago and said, yes, this is, you know, if you can't score on a team, they're the greatest team. How are you going to get past them? But enough people, some ESPN folk chimed in and said, 72 Dolphins, if you wanted to be the best team ever, you should have, you know,
yeah.
won out your season. But
right.
it's interesting to hear everybody chime in, especially with the celebrities we brought in and the important Chicago personalities.
Name some names.
Barack Obama.
Bill Murray. Jeremy Piven. We've got a reunion of the superfans from SNL. Robert Smigel, who invented it, who's also voice of Triumph the Wonder Dog, who I know Bill loves.
Michael Wilbon.
Mike Wilbon from ESPN, great. Joe Mantegna, George Wendt. Lots of the Bears from 85. We've got Coach Ditka. Getting the president was not a small deal for our film.
Did you stalk him?
Well, federal
they
court order. Federal
Facebook,
court order says
right.
I can't answer that legally. But I've answered this question a couple times. It was amazing how gracious people were. Not because we're amazing producers or anything. It was just the fact that you're talking about the 85 Bears, and Otis Wilson was amazing in helping introduce us. But yeah, I mean, the president obviously is a huge fan, and Bill Murray. These guys were incredibly gracious, and it was just bugging them and stalking them, but also the fact that we're talking about the 85 Bears.
Right. We just lost Buddy Ryan a short time ago. Were you able to secure an interview, spend some time with him or not?
He was on our list, and unfortunately that tragedy happened prior. But we do have a nice memorial to him in the film.
Yeah.
And to backtrack, I will say this. Getting Bill Murray made getting Barack Obama look like ordering an Uber, but we got him.
It was easier to get
he was
Barack Obama, the president of the United States, than it was Bill Murray.
It was a more business-like move forward. It was difficult, but yeah. Bill Murray is just a talented greased pig running around, and you have to tackle him and get him in front of a camera. And once you do, he's liquid gold. He was just
and
amazing.
We really did just call, apparently, Bill Murray a pig on National
Radio.
A talented greased pig.
He was.
That's a much better visual, and those specifics are beautiful.
He could have been nicer. He was like from day one, we were talking about people that we wanted. He was like, one through nine of the guys in the top 10 that we wanted, just because all of us obviously grew up idolizing Bill Murray. I mean, I watched Meatballs like a million times as a kid. So he was right on the list. And we started from day one trying to get him. And as Scott mentioned, as we've all heard, like the legend is true. He doesn't go through publicists or agents. He's got, an 800 number you call. And, Scott and I will never forget the moment that in my car we're driving down Lakeshore Drive. And we call Bill Murray's cell phone, which I thought was a total joke. I'm like, yeah, okay, sure, Bill Murray's cell phone. Guess what? He picks up on the first ring, right? So Bill Murray picks up, and Scott and I are like, hello,
you
Mr.
You weren't prepared,
Murray.
Were you?
Hi, this is Rich.
He sounds like Bill Murray, which makes it scary.
Right.
To talk to him.
It was really intimidating talking to Bill Murray. But, finally, literally, 18 months later, we get a call. We get a text from Bill Murray. Scott gets a text and says, all right, here's the deal. You've got like 90 minutes. I'm on a layover at LAX
tomorrow. 24 hours.
Now, we're a small crew. We're pretty nimble, but I mean, that's a lot to ask for in 24 hours. But Scott and his crew in LA got it together. And next thing we know, we're at the Delta Lounge at LAX. Scott's interviewing Bill Murray and just gave us amazing stuff.
It was, they don't have a private area in that lounge, so we built a chair for it, like you would when you're a kid, just to protect him from the rest of the gang and the sound. And yeah, he was amazing. And for the record, we have a lot of celebrities and Chicago celebrities in the film, but we weren't celebrity shopping. These are all true dyed-in-the-wool Bears fans. Piven's a Bears nut.
Yeah.
Barack Obama.
Ike Barinholtz. I mean, Ike Barinholtz, who's incredibly hot, you know, from Suicide Squad. He was the jail guard in Suicide Squad. Been on a million things. He was like, he was, I think, thrilled to just be on involved.
His daughter's name is Peyton.
Really?
And that was no accident. So these are all.
But you see that a lot. There's a lot of Chicago kids with the name Peyton for obvious reasons. It's a nice tribute to, you know, one of the best.
My daughter's my first choice. My daughter was Fridge, and then my wife said, I changed it to Emma instead. But we wanted to name it Fridge. But yeah, it's incredible how much, you know, 30 years later, there continues to be such a place in everyone's heart for the for these guys.
Yeah, a lot of clashing personalities on the Bears of that particular year. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, the story, Scott could chime in, but the stories you've heard are true. I mean, you know, the conflicts has been well documented. You know, we try to deliver in this film some things you haven't heard before. I mean, listen, everyone's heard a lot about some of the rivalries.
Mm-hmm.
All that is true. We tackle that, but we also give you sort of a different perspective on it. You know, some stuff you haven't heard before. So there will be things. Even though a lot of our listeners think you've heard everything you could ever hear about the 85 Bears, I guarantee you after watching this on Tuesday, there are things that you've never heard before.
All right. And, you know, there were some rivalries, but a lot of camaraderie, too, between the players.
If, to hear the players talk, it was the rivalries that drove them forward. Buddy and Ditka were oil and vinegar. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But that was part of what drove them to succeed.
Yeah.
And same thing with the players. The offense and defense were so much in competition that it just drove them forward. And
that, is that what the Bears of today need?
Yes, that is one of the things the Bears of today needs. My documentary on the Bears of today, by the way, is really going to be interesting, too.
It's about
called
3
Please
minutes.
Do Something Right. It's going to be out soon.
And it's just a still of Bill flipping off Butler.
Right. Yeah, that's all you get. When Buddy Ryan passed away a couple months ago, Mike Ditka said some extremely nice things about him, paid very nice tribute to Buddy Ryan. I didn't know if I would ever hear or see that, but he did. It's been explained that the Bears were one of those teams, especially that season, that really had two head coaches. Maybe that didn't sit too well with Mike Ditka, but you had both guys who were so knowledgeable, such smart football guys running that team.
Yeah, that drove a lot of the rivalry. I mean, listen, when Buddy Ryan was on the staff when Ditka got hired.
Yeah.
So Buddy Ryan wanted that job.
Yeah.
He was very unhappy that he didn't get that job. He thought it was his time after being a coordinator for a long time. So from the jump, these guys were not on the same page. But they were on the same page in terms of, hey, this is working, right? Let me stay out of your hair. I'll stay out of, you know, vice versa. And it worked. Obviously worked that season. And, yeah, now with the benefit of hindsight, Coach Ditka has said that, you know, he might have done things differently, but ultimately, you know, he had great respect for Coach Ryan.
Hindsight is far greater. At the moment and with the pressure and the excitement, you do what you do.
Well, and to be honest, if Buddy Ryan was made the head coach of that 85 team, there's a pretty good chance they don't win as much as they did. None of those rivalries exist if it's just a defensive heavy team. The fact that Ditka was the coach is what ignited that offense, which is what created those two houses and drove both sides. We saw what Buddy Ryan was an average head coach in Philadelphia. You can call it what you want to call it. If without him, if that little thing that happened there where Buddy Ryan was kind of named, kind of slighted there, is what sparked that whole team.
They clashed all the time, but when we asked the players and some of the fans, why do you think there's no dynasty? Most of them said Buddy Ryan leaving.
Clashed,
but it worked.
No doubt.
When he exited, things just started melting away.
We're going to take a quick break. We're talking about 85, the greatest team in pro football history. It's going to air on WTTW Chicago on Tuesday night at 7:30. There's a little sneak preview party on Saturday, which if you keep listening, I believe you guys are going to be giving away 5 pairs of tickets to.
Yep,
stay
yep.
tuned to find out about that. Scott Preston, director and producer, Rich Lankoff, producer, and Mike McNamara, also helped with this too.
Yep, associate producer. And yeah, check us out. Find us on Facebook, 85 Bears Doc. Give it a like and drop us a line.
And we will continue talking Bears. 85 Bears, the only Bears anybody wants to talk about. 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. I used to know every word to this song, the Super Bowl Shuffle. My girlfriends and I would play the parts.
Of all the Steve Fuller videos that I've seen over the years, this is, I think, the best.
Among the best. I wouldn't necessarily go that far.
Bill Murray makes fun of Fencek in the film.
Does he?
And I'm kind of scared to show Fencek.
All right. Scott Preston, director and producer of this 85 Bears documentary, 85, the greatest team in pro football history. Rich Lankoff, producer, associate producer. Mike McNamara in the studio. And it's going to be shown Tuesday, WTTW Channel 11 at 7:30. I cannot wait to see it. Speaking of the Super Bowl shuffle, that's mentioned, isn't it? That was the best part of the 85 Bears for a lot of women.
You think you've heard everything about the Super Bowl shuffle. You haven't. We've got some great stuff on there. And actually, initially, one of our thoughts was to do a documentary just based on that. We were just going to do a story on that, and that sort of blossomed into the bigger picture. But yeah, I mean, you know, again, like, we think that a lot of people will learn things that they've never learned about the Bears. We think this is sort of the final take on a lot of these stories. But yeah, the Super Bowl Shuffle is well covered by a lot of the people who were in the room that night.
Did any other team do anything like that? Because that was just so groundbreaking.
A lot of them did it after. There was a lot of copycats afterwards. Like, the Niners did one that was terrible.
The Steelers did one.
Yeah, it was.
But this was
even
done.
Ditka did one, by the way. Even Coach Ditka did one.
Come on, gang.
The Super Bowl
is that
Shuffle.
Your Ditka?
That's Wendy's Ditka.
That's the best I can do.
That's Wendy's Ditka. The Super Bowl Shuffle was shot very early in the season, which means they either had incredible foresight or they were just cocky. I mean, you wouldn't do that early
in
the season.
I'd say cocky.
It was right after the Dolphins loss, right? So, which is even more,
that's a little later.
Which is just amazing that these guys had the audacity
to
tape a video talking about dominating in the Super Bowl that wouldn't happen, you know, for many weeks later. But that just, you know, shows why the guys were the greatest.
They had such an attitude, but not like a jerky attitude like a lot of times you see in the NFL now where somebody is just a jerk. They just had this attitude that they loved themselves. They were going to do it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And a lot of them will tell you that Miami game that was right before the video, they were so high in themselves, they feel like if they hadn't lost that game, they might have sleptwalked through the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So it was a crazy ride. They lose the Miami game. They make this video bragging on what they're going to do weeks later, and they're our heroes.
When they were in the Super Bowl against the New England Patriots, the ultimate blowout, the ultimate Super Bowl blowout, the criticism has been that Walter Payton didn't get a touchdown in that Super Bowl. Why didn't he?
Ditka just basically said, you know, it was a crazy week. It was a crazy game. It was my job to win, and it wasn't on my mind. And everyone said if anyone had mentioned to anyone else on that sideline, we would have run him 40 times, you know, across the end zone line, and no one just thought about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Dick has told the story many times, like Scott said, that that's one of his regrets. But, you know, there's a lot of people who are on the other side of the idea, including some of the players we interview, who say, listen, we love Sweetness. Obviously, you know, no disrespect to Sweetness, but we're trying to win a game, and we're concentrating on winning that game, not necessarily getting, you know, an individual touchdown. So there's a lot of sort of back and forth on that. I had Walter Payton on my wall growing up in another country. I grew up in Montreal, so I was a huge Payton fan. I was always, you know, unhappy that he didn't get a touchdown, but there are plenty of people who think that that wasn't the biggest, you know, deal.
Was he asked about that ever?
He talked about it a lot.
But is that something that he would have wanted? I know it's heartbreaking that he didn't score in that game, but I almost feel like he wouldn't have wanted the special treatment.
He avoided the press after the game. He hid in a broom closet.
He cried. I mean, listen, he's the greatest guy ever. And
absolutely.
We have absolute respect for him. And Jared was amazing in the film. But yeah, he talked afterwards for many years about how that was a regret for him.
But you got to understand, I mean, the Bears had the ball on the 1 or 2 yard line, I think, at least 3 different times, at least 2 different times. So it's not something like, well,
right,
we Yeah. It just never happened because you have some games where it's like, well, it was a 10-yard out. Well, it was this. I mean, you're on the 1-yard line. You can decide who gets the touchdown.
Sure. But I mean,
and they went with the fridge. And there were a couple times where Peyton was an option and McMahon tucked it and went in. And you know what? That's what he should have done. Every time Peyton touched the ball, there were three guys on him.
Yeah.
It's, which was actually the case for a lot of his career if you really followed
more
Peyton.
I think it was more of an issue for Walter Peyton. I mean, listen, the average fan, I think anyone around the world would agree that Peyton was the greatest running back in history. And I don't think the fact that he didn't score in this one game detracts in any way. I think it was more for him personally. Oh. He would have loved to score it, you know. So, but I mean, among
he felt
fans,
like he didn't accomplish.
Yeah, I think it was more, you know, something an issue for him. But
Ditka's plan the whole time was that the defense was going to key on Peyton, and that's why he was constantly getting fakes, and it worked. If you watch the footage, everyone was three guys on Peyton. Whoever got the ball got an extra 5 yards. Yeah. But Ditka did feel so bad. He scored a touchdown in his playing days in the Super Bowl, and handed that football to Walter after the Super Bowl. So
I've heard
there was some closure.
I've heard NFL critics say that Jim McMahon was one of the least effective quarterbacks to ever lead a team into the Super Bowl, but I don't know that I agree with that. Do you?
So, the players don't agree with that. They love
attitude,
him. He was their
man.
It was all attitude.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, but technically, he wasn't the most technically accurate quarterback you've ever seen, right? And that was in the era of, you know, Joe Theismann and Dan Marino, right? Guys who could really sling the ball.
Yeah.
But from a leadership perspective, knowledge of the game, this guy was unsurpassed. And all the players tell us that in the movie, and, you know, anyone could watching that season knows that this guy, as a quarterback leading a team to a championship, was second to none.
How about best non-traditional quarterback ever?
That's the way you want to
seriously,
because
he was one in a million.
And best, you know, sweatband probably ever. Oh. Best headband, arguably, you know, in history.
I remember Bruce Willis wearing one on an episode of Moonlighting, which was pop culture way of saying, we applaud you guys, you know.
I cannot wait to see this, and I'm sure the listeners are like this too, because we're going to watch this Tuesday night, and then we're going to be psyched for the Bears season that's up and coming. And then we're going to be disappointed.
Just don't win a championship this year, because then our film will not be as important, you know?
That's no problem.
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry.
Wouldn't that be the luck?
I don't think you have to worry. But isn't the difference, look at Jim McMahon as opposed to Jay Cutler. You can be cocky if you can back that up. If somehow your cockiness pays off, and McMahon's did, be cocky all day.
Yeah, no question. I mean,
but wait, the difference was Cutler is not a leader. McMahon was cocky. He backed it up, and he was a leader, right?
Right.
I mean, that's what
the
Rich and Scott.
Absolutely. Right,
the players loved Cutler. Cutler's driving all the good players, all, you know, kind of off the team.
Yeah.
I mean, Cutler is not a leader. It's a complete.
He leads his
completely
own feet. Come
different.
On.
He's the exact opposite. He throws a beautiful spiral. He throws two passes a game where you're like, that's amazing.
Now's a great time to jump in and thank the Chicago Bears organization.
Oh, yeah, they were
so
great.
Much for how
of
great
course.
They were in this project.
Of course.
And how big
I like
fans
Cutler.
We are.
I like Cutler. I'm
but
saying
definitely
he's apples and oranges with McMahon. He's the opposite of McMahon. McMahon could never throw a ball as good as Cutler, but Cutler could never lead a team the way McMahon did.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. This is the Bears. They're our team. I'm sorry. I'm still behind them.
All right.
Of course.
They're not the 85 Bears.
They're not the 85 Bears.
They might be.
Guys, this is the most exciting thing, especially if you're a Chicago Bears fan, and many of us are. So what do people need to do? There's several ways to see this. Give all the options.
Oh, well, first you can see it on Tuesday.
Tuesday night, 7:30 on PBS, WTTW. They're putting a whole fundraiser together surrounding it. So we're going to be live in studio with Otis Wilson, one of our producers. He'll be there live during the intermissions.
Mama's boy Otis, one of a kind.
You can get a sneak preview of it right now as we speak by tuning in, by looking at Bears85BearsDoc.com. That's 85BearsDoc.com. You'll see a quick clip on there that has a lot of the best parts of the movie. And then, as we mentioned, we're having a sneak preview for some friends and family. Very small gathering on Saturday night at Underground. And we're going to talk about a chance for some of your listeners to win a chance to join us.
Yeah, do it now.
Message us on the Facebook page, 85BearsDoc. The first five people that shoot us a message at the 85BearsDoc Facebook page will give you guys passes for you and a guest to come out to Underground tomorrow night. Billy Deck, the whole gang will be there. A lot of the Bears guys will be there. And you can come out and enjoy a special sneak preview Saturday night. If not, though, Tuesday, PBS, 7:30.
Good luck and congratulations.
And then we're going to be airing it nationally, internationally after that. Right now, this is a sneak preview on Tuesday night for our local audience. But, yeah, we're really excited about the project, and thank you guys so much for having us.
And it's to help them out. It's PBS's fundraiser. That's what it's all about. So we were happy to let them have
very
a little
good.
Bit of that.
Rich, Scott, Mike, thank you guys. Appreciate
thank you
being
very
here.
Much.
This is great. We'll take a quick break, then news. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.